Warning, The Bear Takedown is a filthy podcast about homosexual bears and chasers. All are welcome, except for coworkers and family members of the host. If I was you, I wouldn't listen, just saying. It is definitely not safe to listen to at work or while driving with your windows down. However, pants down listening is encouraged.
Hey, how's it going, all my little fellow bears and sexy chasers? Hey. Hey, welcome back to another episode of The Bear Takedown.
You're so biased.
No, there's sexy bears too, but I didn't say it, I guess.
You didn't. That's the problem.
My name is Nick.
This is Sugar.
And we have a great episode for you today. But before we jump in, we just want to make sure you know how to connect with us either on social media, via Instagram or Facebook. Mostly is probably the best two ways. You can just search The Bear Takedown, or Insta's at The Bear Takedown. Just follow us along there. You can interact with us. We put out questions to get your feedback on an upcoming episode and things like that. So just put it on there. And maybe tell a friend sometime if you enjoy listening. Make sure it's one of those.
Even if you don't enjoy listening, they might enjoy it.
They might like it. So probably if they're kind of have some opposite interest in you, then maybe they'll like it better.
Right.
I don't know. But today, Sugar.
Yes, today. We wanted to kind of continue with, you know, what we were talking about. You know, last episode we talked about open relationships, you know, the kind of how ours is structured with Nick and I. And then we wanted to bring our friend on today, who is a special guest today. His name is Alex. We met 3 years ago. We just found out because I guess I forgot 2020 because of the pandemics. But we've known each other for 3 years. And we started playing softball together. So, hello, Alex.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Good. We actually brought Alex on because to take the, you know, to in the series of relationships and the different types that are out there in the community and really in the world, Alex is kind of in what we would call a polyamorous relationship. Would you agree with that? Are you okay with that definition? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Poly.
And just to, like, I like to, for me, sometimes I get things wrong, definitions wrong. So I looked up the definition of polyamorous. So on the internet, it says it means to have an open, intimate, or romantic relationships with more than one person at a time. People who are polyamorous can be heterosexual, lesbian, gay, or bisexual. And relationships between polyamorous people can include combinations of people of different sexual orientations. Don't get it twisted. Alex is not bisexual.
No.
But I really wanted to hear Alex's story. I think Alex is a very interesting character. He's kind of lived all over the United States a little bit. And, you know, he was in the military. So I kind of want to just kind of, you know, open the door for you, Alex. Kind of tell us about, you know, your military and how you met your husband.
So it's all started back in like 2009 when I joined the military. At first, don't ask, don't tell was not a thing. So I couldn't really be out, and I kind of was just discovering myself. I grew up in a rural town where kind of being gay was not a good thing. So, of course, my role was to find a wife, have kids, be the normal family.
I like the quotation marks for normal.
Normal family. And it was just the norm for me. So being gay was just not it. And I knew from a young age that I was gay, but growing up in a family that was structured around family, marrying a woman, all that stuff was tradition. Being in the military, it kind of opened my eyes that I could be different. I could do something different, but at the same time, I couldn't at the same time because I would be kicked out. And that was not a thing that I wanted. The military was something that I was proud to do, honored, and I'm glad I did. So when I, you know, back in the military, I kind of explored life. I would consider myself back then a little bit bisexual. Mm-hmm. Because again, my back to my tradition, I wanted to find a wife, but at the same time, I really liked the dudes.
You had those knees.
Something about that. And so I had, you know, my first ever boyfriend. It was my first year, and it was kind of new for both of us. And the bad thing is I had to consider him my friend. So if I ever brought him around other people, He was just my friend. I mean, I think some people, like some of my close shipmates, were, they knew, but they, I couldn't say anything because I would have been kicked out. There was big rules about being homosexual or anything like that in the military. So it was a really damper on our relationship because, I couldn't bring him to functions. I couldn't, you know, I always had to bring the woman to the balls and the parties and stuff like that, because of course they would find out if I was gay. That relationship unfortunately didn't last, just because he didn't like being called just a friend. Mm. And so of course my mind goes back to growing up, like, oh, maybe this is not for me. So I started dating my coffee girl. Yeah. My coffee
girl. She made you coffee? Or?
She made me coffee every morning.
Was she a bikini barista?
No. Like, she made you coffee at home? Or where'd she make the coffee at?
A little stained right by my house. Oh,
so she was
She was literally my coffee girl. And I, of course, was the chicken one. And one day she reached out and was like, hey, let's go on a date. So I was like, all right, let's go on a date. Her name was Roxanne. So always stuck in Roxanne.
Oh. Roxanne.
She is beautiful. You know, again, I would consider myself back in the day like a little bisexual, and you know, it fit. Like, we meshed really well. We had good times together. But again, I knew inner that this was not for me. Of course it didn't work out.
Did you, when you say you're bisexual, did you, like, when you were dating someone, did you let them know you're bisexual, or just you internalize that? Like,
internalize.
That's how you kind of justified it.
Internalize, because again, like growing up, like I'm like, no, I'm straight. Mm-hmm. I'm don't like dick and all that stuff. But it was just like, I felt like I was lying to myself, and I'm glad that I, you know, stuck true to myself and eventually came out. But again, it took a few years for me too, because of the military. The nice thing is the military, you know, advanced, and you could be out. Like, it was just like a whole new spectrum of life. And it was also time for me to tell my parents, because I didn't tell my parents until I had my first real boyfriend, who was also in the military. And I was like, he's not my roommate. He's actually my boyfriend.
And who did you tell first, your mom or your dad?
I told my mom, because I'm a mama's boy. And I knew the one perk is my sister's gay, my older sister, and she...
breeding them.
she did it first. So she broke my Catholic mother down, and she had to light a lot of candles. It was hard at first. She didn't talk to me for a while. She, of course, said, I'm going to go light a lot of candles and pray for you. Because I'm her only boy, and I'm the baby, and she wanted just the best for me, which, you know, it's kind of hard when you come from a like conservative family that, dang, both my kids, well, there's three of us, but two of us are gay.
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds.
That's limiting the grandchildren.
Yeah, that's another thing she's disappointed. But she has dogs and chickens as grandkids. But it was an eye opener, and she finally, you know, caved, because she, you know, the mother's love for her son is always there, most of the time, and it was good. And then my first time ever telling one of my coworkers in the military was my best friend. We took a PRT test, which is a physical readiness test, and we went back to her house, and we were very like close with each other, and you know, best friends. Like, we told each other everything, but this was my little secret. And she was showering, and you know, we were, I mean,
it was a she.
It's a she.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was a she, and she was showering, and we were really close. Like, we could get naked in front of each other, but we had no feelings for each other, but we were just like close people. And she was showering, and I was like, hey, I got to tell you something. I'm gay. And she was just like,
while she was in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah. She almost slipped.
She can't run.
No, she can't run. She can't get out. She almost slipped. And then she's like, dude, I already knew. And then everybody at work, they were like, we already knew. And it was just like, an easy thing to come out. And I didn't tell any of my doctors that I worked with at the time, just because I didn't want them to treat me differently. It was a welcome to everything.
And the person that you were dating was you met in the military?
The first person I met when I was in the military, and then after the Roxanne, we broke off, and that's when I came out. And then, of course, I dated around. I explored.
So when you came out, you weren't necessarily with anyone.
No, okay. No, I explored. You know, you got to find what you like, and
yeah, that means you went through your hoe phase.
Yeah,
your first hoe phase.
Good old Seattle. Right. I always took one for the team, and kind of
literally, he would take one.
take one for the team. Had some good times, and found that I do like the hairy bears and different aspects of being gay. And then probably like my fourth year in the military, I met my spouse. We were the normal grinder meetup. However, we told everybody that we met at a coffee shop on a hot day, which we literally did, but off grinder.
You and coffee. What's up with that?
I love coffee. Who doesn't love coffee? I live in Oregon.
I hate coffee.
I hate coffee. Yeah.
Coffee is life.
So when you said, just to backtrack a minute, because you said you didn't want to tell the doctors because you work in the medical field.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I didn't want to be treated differently because I know I've witnessed different people that, you know, came out, people get treated differently.
Oh, yeah.
But the one perk about working at a military hospital, I feel like more gays are caring, so they work in the medical field, mm-hmm. Especially in the military. And everybody was open. Like, they were just like, you know, come here, Alex. Like, they didn't feel awkward. You know, I was professional in my job. I didn't bring up, you know, my weekend times and stuff. I hung out with my friends. But it just became normal.
Yeah.
It still was a little weird, but it still came normal because it was part of my life. Like, the military was my life.
And you were finally able to put them both together.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knew it wasn't a secret anymore. Mm-hmm. So you could intertwine the two together, and it's like a sense of relief.
Oh, it's definitely, what's the word? It's not stressful. Like, it's just, I could be myself. And, you know, I never want to disappoint anybody or anything, especially like my mom, but it just all kind of fit perfectly. And, there's still a lot of my family members and some of my friends, because I grew up in a big Mormon community, that don't agree on my lifestyle. But they, a lot of them still support. You know, it's not like I'm throwing out the tons of gay pictures and words and stuff on social media but then I still have those people that still support me.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, we've discussed religion before on the show, and I feel like Mormonism and gays is a whole episode in itself, but there's still those people. Like, I know a lot of religious people get a bad rap. It's like, they all hate gays. They want nothing to do with them. They all think they're going to hell. I mean, I had people reach out to me after I came out and left my church. You know, they're still good. So there's still good people in every religion. So, but what's interesting, because you did say you met your now husband, and his name is what?
Alex.
And your name is?
Alex.
So you are the Alexes, right?
We're the Alexes. We're really easy people to remember.
Yeah. That's easy. If you meet somebody at a party, it's like, oh, they're both Alex.
Except for how you refer to which one or that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're my Alexa. So. Yeah.
And then my new job, everybody calls me Big Al. But and then I'm like, are you calling me fat? And they're like, no. And they're like, it's just great. It just rolls off the tongue, Big Al. And I was like, I know what other things that roll off the tongue. But we haven't got that part yet.
You got comfortable at your new job real quick.
Very quick.
So you said you met Alex with like third or fourth year into the military.
Mm-hmm.
And where were y'all at the time?
Up in Washington.
Oh, up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He, over in the Sound over in Bremerton, Washington, where the big naval base is. And, it was just, you know, you get that little spark. And, Alex actually is a total opposite of what I search for in a guy kind of thing, because I like the big hairy bears and stuff like that, and he is just a handsome, kind of furry.
He's kind of maybe a little cub. I'd say he's a little cubbish.
Yeah, I would say a little cub, but not a lot of hair.
Yeah,
no, but he's
Super cute.
He's very handsome, and I figured out that I do love the nerdy guys. I don't necessarily partake in the, you know, D&D or Magic the Gathering or anything like that. Don't get me on that, but it's just something about that. It's just I do like the little nerdy side of dudes.
And how long? Go ahead.
No, no, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, how long ago was that?
Over 9, almost 10 years ago.
Goodness. So y'all been together a long
while.
9 years.
I had to think about it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then y'all are married, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. We got married about a year and a half later. It was kind of I wouldn't say force, but again, the military, going to different bases. Washington, I could live out in town. I had my own house, a dog, stuff like that. Alex actually graduated from college and moved in with me. And then I got orders to Chicago, and I had to live in barracks because I wasn't married. So I kind of was like, we either have to get married or break up. Kind of
thing. That's romantic.
Super romantic. I was like, I'm not going to do 4 years of long distance. That's just too much for me. And I can't afford to live out in town on military pay because it's like below poverty what military members kind of make.
So if you at the time, and I guess it's probably the same way now, if you're married, even if you're a gay couple, do they put you like in a house on the base?
They could. You have options. So backtrack, when we first got married, when I registered Alex as a military spouse, we were kind of the first ever military married spouses in Washington. It was kind of awkward because people are like, oh my god, my first two dudes here getting a military ID, and I was just like, oh god. But yeah, no, when you're married, you can, either live in military housing or get, it's called basic housing allowance, BHA, just so that it can cover your family, stuff like that. We chose not to live in housing because we just heard kind of bad things about the housing in Chicago. Each place is a little different. So we just lived out there and bought our first house and good old Waukegan, Illinois, kind of the sketchy place, but it's pretty nice. We loved our house. It was a beautiful house. And he moved with me. So that was a great thing. Like that was a big step for us because we knew that we were soulmates, but we didn't plan on getting married right away. But it just kind of flew right in. And the big thing is it was a small wedding. My sister and her wife were there. My parents weren't there because I think my dad didn't really know as much yet. Because my mom's like, don't tell my dad. Because, again, I grew up in a rural town, farm town, where my dad was just like not too accepting. But now he's like a loving father. And I mean, he was always a loving father, but he's supportive.
Yeah. Like,
it's wonderful.
It takes time. It's not something that you've dealt with it your whole life, and he's just dealing with it as soon as you tell him. So it takes a minute.
It's supportive because he was a huge Trump supporter because, you know, he loves guns and from a red state and everything like that. But last time around, he was just like, no, I'm not going to support someone and that's not going to support my children.
Oh,
so that just,
that's
like
a huge step.
It's huge. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, we don't have that like father son relationship, but we, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he's my dad. Like,
right.
I love the support that he gives. And, you know, I'm excited. They're coming down in a couple of weeks. I haven't seen him in about a year. So it's going to be a new adventure. And it's super accepting because he loves staying at our house. He loves Alex. But he doesn't really know about my...
Oh, the part we're getting to.
Before we get to that far down, since we are talking about relationships, I was just wondering. So when you first met Alex and then got married... What was the nature of your, was it open? Was it monogamous? Was it, what kind of?
We were monogamous. Cause we were like newly gay.
This is the married. Love of my life. Oh my God.
Yeah, we were like little rabbits. And the first year that we were together, he was still in college. So we only saw each other like once or twice a month. Cause I had to drive to his college up in Northern Washington. So it was just, you know, it was just me and him, and we didn't, you know, think about other people, or, you know, of course everybody thinks about other dudes. You see them there, you know, it's the gay relationship. You always check out other people, but we didn't think of bringing anybody on.
was it a conversation? Like, are we like together? Like, are we just the two of us? Or did y'all, it was just kind of, it happened naturally? Like,
it happened naturally. Like it was just, we thought it was just going to be a normal hookup when we first met. And then you kind of go on your way, but it just was one of those, it was meant to be. Like, it was, I don't know how to explain it. It's still fresh in my mind of how we met and how that spark is. And it's still there, but now we have some extra sparks.
And that's the thing about it. So like we talked about it on the last episode, how relationships evolve. You know, it's not always going to be the same thing forever. So you were together, you got married. How long after the relationship started do you feel like you went exploring the openness part of it?
I think when we moved to Chicago, we kind of discussed having like, you know, three ways, anything like just being open. We didn't talk about
but
being
together, open. Most together. Likely doing stuff together,
always together. Yeah. Because we would like to share everything together. And you know, it's always one of those things that evolve over time, and you have to trust each other, communication, stuff like that. So it's just, we brought a few in Chicago and kind of talked about it. I think early on in our relationship too, we kind of talked off and on. I'm like, hey, what if we bring a third in? Like, what if that ever happens? Like, would we be open to bringing a third in?
Like a third for a hookup or a third?
A relationship.
So you were talking about it early. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like throwing it around with each other.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like, we were always kind of like open to it, but we were never really were seeking it. Mm-hmm. Because it's always hard in any relationship to be like, why does that person want to bring another person in? Do they not love me enough? Do they not do I not give them enough attention, stuff like that? But it's just kind of like again, in any relationship, communication is key.
Yeah.
And it's worked. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, but it's, I love my little nerd.
Well, fast forward a little bit, because you know, obviously you are here in Oregon now. You live out here with us in this area, the Pacific Northwest. And you know, we did mention you're considered in a poly relationship. When did that start?
Well, because Oregon is unique in its own way and fun, and there's so many different opportunities to explore sexually, relationship-wise, to anything. Like, Oregon is huge. I think Seattle area, well, like Washington's also the same, but I feel like Oregon, there's just so many poly relationships to open relationships to, you name it, there's everything in the bag. It was a couple of years ago. I think it was when our first year we moved here, we had an apartment, then bought a house and got more comfortable with life. And then, you know, we liked bringing in other people in our relationship and, sexually, just, you know, friends that we trusted and stuff. And then, the poly life kind of started, I would say 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of flew right in. Like, it was kind of, so our situation right now is, my husband has a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He lives with us. But I don't have a boyfriend. So it's, a lot of people are like, that's not poly. That's just being open, or that's poly and open. Or it's a little difficult because some people are like, you guys aren't all in a relationship. And I'm like, no, yes, my husband's boyfriend lives with us, which is wonderful, but I'm just not romantically in that relationship with him. Of course, we all get down and dirty every time and now, because that's what's it's nice to have gay dudes in the house, and we.
It's,
I mean,
not romantic. It's not romantic.
No, I mean, it's romantic in a different way, but it's not like a relationship romantic, because. My husband and his boyfriend, Eric, are exactly the same. They're the big nerds, Magic Gathering, D&D, which is perfect for me because I'm like a farmer. I go play softball. I do all that stuff because they don't like doing it. So it gives me relief that my husband has somebody to relate to his passion with.
Yeah.
And it gives me a lot of alone time because my work is so busy and I like just to be upstairs with all my zoo of animals.
And so with saying that, did you feel like, it came together like based on like interest versus more like sexual type or like over attraction or would it be, is it pretty balanced or?
I feel like it was first, it was my husband and Eric. They play Magic. That's how they met. I didn't know Eric. I didn't, you know, they play Magic and stuff and then they clicked really well. And then of course I feel like, it's hard to say someone's type, but I feel like I'm Eric's type and my husband's type, you know, the kind of bigger bear, stuff like that. And so it was just kind of like a mutual attraction. Like it took some time because it was at first, it's always like crazy to think that, oh, my husband loves somebody else. We were always kind of open to the idea of bringing somebody and it just kind of like flew right in. And then we decided to go to, it all started when we went to Puerto Vallarta. For beef dip and
we were there with you.
Oh, we were there and we decided to, you know, let's give this a try. Let's go as a triad. Like let's,
I remember you were very like, it's like we were, you know, we were in the background being gays talking about you and we were like, I think they're in a three-way relationship. And you'd be like, no, we're not. We're just traveling together. We're hanging out together. But it was something like, I was glad when you're finally able to just say it.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing. Like it, you mentioned how you feel like you're kind of more Eric's body type, but like him and Alex, they get along really well. Yeah. So they have a little bit of a deeper connection that way.
Yeah.
It seems like it was that difficult to like say, let's have Eric come in because of the attraction level, or do you think it was just,
we all have the attraction of a relationship and, you know, I care for Eric. Like I consider him a partner. He lives with us. We don't ever see him not living with us, not being a part of our lives. You know, I love Eric. I love Alex. It's just how it works. Like I can't take the two emotional the emotional connections extra when they're exactly like each other. It's just difficult in my mind. It took me like over a year to kind of get comfortable with us being like Polly, and I mean, I was open to it, but it's a lot of communication, a lot of jealousy, which is normal in any type of relationship, especially poly, because you're going to be like, oh, is someone getting more attention than the other? Or is, am I going to lose my husband to this other person?
Tell us more about that, because I'll be honest with you. I've discussed it before. Like, that's probably one of my issues. Like, I get jealous. So tell us a little bit more. Like, do y'all have to... Are there arguments or like, do you have to like pull one to the side and tell him like, I think you're doing a little too much or he's doing too much or how does that work?
Every I think relationship is unique. There's a book, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a polyamorous book. It's well known. I can't remember the name, but it's jealousy is the number one factor because you're always, everyone has that questioning mind. Like what if? And it took me about a year after PV and stuff like that. And then when I discovered it, we kind of all dated for like 6 months. And when I discovered that, like, I was like, I can't be emotionally connected with Eric. That it kind of got a little bit more comfortable just because I knew Alex and Eric had the more connection. I know that we all connect really, really well and it works. But the first year was rough. Like it was like always in my mind, like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Are they actually like, I would go play softball and I'm like, oh, what are they, are they just messing around the whole time? Or what are they like, what is he doing better that I can't do better? Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of ups and downs. I mean, therapy is really great. I went to a therapist for a couple months. And then I read it's called The Ethical Slut.
Oh,
it's the book. I recommend anybody reading it. It's,
The Ethical Slut.
Yeah, because everybody's a little slutty. But it shows that you are, it's okay to be jealous. It's okay to do all the stuff. You just need to communicate. So it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of arguments, a lot of, I had to trust. Because, I mean, if people just roll into a relationship and you don't question it, there's something wrong with you, in my opinion. Because, especially poly, because you're adding another person to share your spouse or your loved one or anybody with.
And on an intimate level, when someone lives with you and you share everything with them, that's That's heavy.
It's very, a whole heavy. New ball game. Yeah. And it's it takes time, like a lot of time, but it works. Like for us, it works very well. Like I consider, you know, we're kind of like a triad, but I'm just not dating Eric.
So then would you say that you're still open? Like, is Alex or Eric still able to be sexual with someone else, or are you able to have a boyfriend or be sexual with someone else outside of those three? Or is it kind of like you three ride or die kind of?
No, it's, I would consider us all being open. I have conversations with my husband about being open, and you know, I can find that another partner if I, you know, if I want to. I have, but I'm kind of lazy during the week because I work long hours and I just don't like to give other people attention at times. Yeah. So it's like,
it's your time, me time.
It's my time. Or like the weekends are like, I'm free. Like I want to go play softball, and some days I just want to like sit back and relax or go out. And it's a lot of time to being poly, because I know there's some relationships that the people have like four partners, and I'm like, how do you do that? Like, how do you
Time management and emotional and
God, I'm like, care of yourself. Where do your time for yourself? Like,
I'm exhausted just listening to it.
I'm exhausted just talking. Patrick
drains the hell out of me, and it's like,
in many ways,
working. Yeah. Yes. So, I can't imagine. So, are there times where like two people will be in an argument and the other person's just kind of there like refereeing or sitting back and like watching, or like,
no, it's kind of natural. Like we all kind of like argue like a normal relationship. So like Alex and I will argue cause I tease and do all that stuff. And you know, we've been together for so long. And then Eric and Alex will argue, and I'm just in the back like, well, whatever, they're doing their thing. They'll get pissed and run the other way. And I mean, it's hard to explain because it's a different dynamic unless you experience it. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like, but it works. I mean, that's how relationships work. It's all about communication. It's really nice. Me and Eric, you know, we take care of Alex. Alex takes care of us. It's kind of like,
Talking in general, right?
In general, we make sure that everybody's all right. Or like, I mean, like Eric still talks to me about, life and like if he just got a new job and if this is a good thing for him and stuff, you know, it's just like, it's so natural that it works. I mean, a lot of people don't understand. We've told, our families, they all kind of are like, oh, I don't get it. But everyone's kind of like supporting. I mean, I'm curious of what my family are going to do when they visit, because they've never visited with Eric living with us. And of course, my dad does not know that we're poly.
Is that going to be an introduction when he comes?
No, I don't think we'll tell him.
Roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just is known as our roommate, and I don't think he'll know, because that's just some things that I don't want to make my dad feel uncomfortable.
I get that. That's a very hard, you know, fence to walk there. I mean, because you obviously are proud of what you are. You're happy in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Ships. And I mean, do you need to do the undue stress on him? I don't know. You know, that's completely up to you.
Yeah. And it's something that we don't need to, I mean, I'll bring it up. I think my dad probably knows, but it's just like me coming out. Like my dad kind of figured it out and supports me in many ways, but this is the one that it's different when you are from a rural town and there's no poly life. Right. So people don't understand it. They just think of like the polygamy of Mormons and you know, it's a different state out here. Cause people understand it. Like people at my old job, they're like, oh, that's great. And for me, I just don't, cause I don't have a boyfriend. I mean, I can date. I'm considered, to kind of go back to the other previous question, Nick asked, we are open. I can go see other people. I mean, it's been a pandemic, so I just, it's very hard to kind of go meet people. And, I've gone on a couple dates, here and there. But again, it's been a pandemic, so it's really hard to define the openness because of this past year. That's between me and Alex that we're open. When it comes to Alex and Eric, I believe they are open, but they just haven't really discussed it as much, or because they have each other.
And that's between them.
That's you
leave
between
that,
them.
But you leave that between them. Like you're not necessarily involved in Mm-mm. their boundaries or
they set the rules for their relationship.
Correct.
And you and Alex set the rules for your relationship. Mm-hmm. So,
but I imagine they overlap, obviously.
Yeah. And it's just like my, with my husband, like I don't care if he goes off and, you know, if he meets somebody, but it's just like, you know, that's has to be up with, I'm okay with it, but then Eric needs to also be okay with it. But then again, that's their relationship. And again, it's super confusing to talk about, but
it actually makes more sense makes with more you talking sense, about it now. And that's the, you know, why I think your story is so interesting, but I wonder what is it going to be like when you eventually, you know, everybody's getting vaccinated now, you're going to start venturing out more. Have you thought about what it's going to be like if you find someone that you want to date?
Well, I've kind of dated one guy and he's come over a couple times and it's been great, but then it's a different side because I'm fine with it. But then Alex and Eric are a little different.
Do they judge him?
Well, they,
they make fun of him.
I think Eric's fine because me and Eric are not necessarily dating. But Alex... it's a different side because I had the jealous side for a year of getting kind of over the edge of just him and Eric dating. And now he's seeing people that I'm dating. It's just another mind thing where it's communication, you know, it's saying, hey, you and Eric are in a relationship. It's okay for me to have somebody, but I'm always going to love you, Alex. Like you know, he's my priority. And it's always hard to find, you know, another partner that has to understand, like, my husband always comes first and I'm going to make a lot of time for my second partner if I find one, but my husband always is going to come first. Like it's like in our families, like, I'm always going to bring Alex, or like with Alex's family, I'm always going to be there with him.
So y'all are the core. Your relationship is the core of everything that happens there. Yep. So anything that ventures off, if something were to happen, let's say you and Eric get into a bigger argument and you're like, I'm done with him. I don't want him in my house. It's not going to be Alex and him. He's going to be, they would have to deal with that.
They would have to deal with that. But I just don't feel like that's ever going to, I mean, we argue and we have disagreements, but the key is communication.
Yeah.
That's like what the ethical slut kind of tells you in the book. I mean, I learned a lot and got more comfortable with myself as being poly reading that dang book. And I got it from a friend that just is kind of crazy, but
so you feel like it, you said it took you a good year to get used to it, but you feel comfortable with it now. Like
I get comfortable. I mean, I get at times I get really, really jealous. Like I'll leave and I'm like, I'll say I'm very snarky sometimes and sarcastic, and I'm like, oh, did you guys go and mess around today, blah blah blah. Like that's my jealous side coming out, because I've, you know, I'm the only one that works outside the house. So it's,
they have a lot more opportunity.
They have a lot more opportunity to do different things. And at first I was really jealous and my mind went crazy, but, it's good now. Like,
yeah. Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate you sharing it. I know it's difficult. I know it's a lot, you know, it's a big side of yourself, you know, not the only side, but you know, you kind of put yourself out there. So I appreciate you sharing with us.
Yeah, and it's always good to get help if you feel like you want to go that route of being poly and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong to communicate with your partner or your loved ones about it, because it's always going to be on your mind, and your partner needs to always understand that it's okay to communicate of what, instead of, you know, that person cheating.
Right.
It's good to communicate about it, because, you know, it just makes us stronger. That's not like me and Alex are in a stronger relationship due to communicating.
And I think that's the thing that people don't get, is like, it's hard to understand. You're like, we're stronger now that we have other people in, but it, like you said, it's the communication. And the fact, what you said was like, he's always going to be my priority. So that stuck with me a lot. So I think that's great.
Yeah. No, it's been good.
And it's like a very interesting, like the common theme from like last week or last episode with Sugar and I talking about open relationships is like the communication aspect is like, that's the key. As long as you're, I think if you're being honest and you're communicating your things and both being okay, if we explore this or go down this path, like it's okay that it may not work out or it may not be right for one or the other. And then you kind of readjust like what your expectations are, what's your quote unquote rules or what makes you uncomfortable or what's okay or not okay. And being able to say those things, you know?
Yeah. Well, Alex, Alexa, my friend. You've been a great guest today. And again, I do appreciate you being as open as you have and bearing your soul for us. We'll probably end up asking you again, because the Mormon thing for me, I cannot imagine what that's like. So y'all might be hearing Alex a little down the road when we get back to that story topic again. But I know that Nick got, we had a little whore tax come in. So we got a little story that somebody was asking for forgiveness for. So Nick, why don't you share that with us?
Yeah. So we had a whore tax come in. And again, a whore tax is a way to, ask for forgiveness for something that you did wrong, and also donate to the show. And so, we have another one that came in from a guy named Mike in Ohio. And Mike wants to, first he says, I first want to say that I love your new podcast. Thank you so much for starting and giving a voice to the bear and admirers community. I always look forward to a new episode. Today I'm asking to pay the whore tax and be forgiven. Last week I was headed to a small local clinic to get my second COVID shot. Oh, good for you. I waited a few minutes and then was called back to a small room, and waiting there was one of the hottest guys I've ever seen. I was like, when I opened the door, my heart stopped beating. I didn't know what to say. I couldn't catch my breath, and I sat down and he started making small talk, and I couldn't help to think that I had seen him before. He asked me questions for the paperwork, and it hits me. I'm pretty sure I saw him at a local gay bar one night. This started making my cock hard, thinking of how close to him as I am in this little room. I boldly asked him if we had met before, and he said, you do look familiar. Again, boldly, I said, well, if I would have seen you, I probably would have had to say hi. And he chuckles. He stands up, wipes the alcohol on my arm, and if I could see... Oh, I could see that he had a big bulge in his now tighter pants.
This is like pinwheels.
I was trying to hide mine in my shorts, but with not a lot of luck. He pricks my arm with the shot and puts the band-aid on very sensually. I didn't even know you could put a band-aid on very sensually, he said. He walked over to the door, and I thought to open it, but he locked it. Came over to me and said, I have to monitor you for 15 minutes. I know something we could do to pass the time. Then he unzips his pants and pulled out his cock. To waste not any 1 minute of my 15 minutes, I jumped right on him and blew him until his load was down my throat.
Ooh.
Please forgive me for making all the other people wait in the lobby for the vaccine and just for being a whore. Love the podcast, Mike from Ohio.
Dang, that's some COVID shot.
Yeah.
You got two shots a day.
Mike, you are forgiven. Thanks so much for supporting the show. And
again, we go back to jealousy. You're forgiven because we're jealous.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right. So thanks so much to Alex for being on the show today. Thanks again for listening to us. Make sure you interact with us on social media. Say hi. Give us some feedback on poly, open, monogamous relationships. We'd love to hear your feedback.
See y'all later.
Yeah, have a good week.
See ya.
Bye.